right, everybody. It's time for a brand new episode of Plan Banter! Today on the show, the top five of our top 10 list of The Simpsons episodes. At last!
Glean! Hook it to my veins.
Hook it to my veins.
Hey, lady!
I was wrong. It was Earth all along. I'm your host, Richard. Dental plan. It's Jason.
Lisa needs braces.
It's Michael.
Dental plan.
Where's his burrito? Where's his burrito? It's Chris.
Awkward.
So, yes. All right. Here we go. So... Did you go out and watch Tusk this weekend? Because we got it in Lexington.
Yeah, I did not get a chance to see it.
At Cinemark.
Obviously, it did not come to the metropolitan hub of Corbin, Kentucky, yet. But I would like to see it. I've heard about it for a while, so...
I don't know. Cinemark is pissing me off because they keep getting stuff that's like limited release. It's just not the limited release stuff I want to watch. Like,
I thought Regal got it too.
Well, they might have. I don't know. I was eating at Carino's yesterday, which, by the way, guys, if you're going to eat at Carino's, don't go to the one near Fayette Mall because apparently they're under the belief that there's like a tomato shortage or something.
What?
There is a tomato shortage.
Oh, well, then they're taking it very fucking seriously because like my spaghetti yesterday was like white.
There was a, I want to say it was from last year, too. There was a blight on a lot of tomatoes, and I remember actually reading that ketchup prices were going up because of it.
Oh, I do remember that.
And, yeah, a lot of Italian restaurants were going to get hit pretty hard with it.
I think I didn't hear about it. I would have freaked out.
I think you did. It was
I
like,
did?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit after, like, the bacon shortage or whatever it was.
Who cares about bacon? Who gives a fuck about bacon?
The internet did.
Ugh,
at the time.
Stupid.
But, you know, whatever. Boy, I really didn't think the Maze Runner was going to do as well as it did, and I don't know how well it did overall, but I figured this was going to be like, you know...
I just had it pulled up. Hang on. I'll go back to it here real quick.
Figured it was going to be like the next Mortal Instruments or whatever.
Is it 33 or something this weekend? I
mean, it did fairly well. I know it did 11 on Friday by itself, so...
Yeah,
I don't know why my internet decided to just start sucking balls.
It was the busiest we've been in quite a while, especially for like an evening show. And I guess the fact that it's at 10 o'clock helped because people come up to the theater and they're like, we want tickets for the midnight show. And we're like, we don't have a midnight show. We have like an 8 o'clock. And they're like, no, I don't want that. Let's go to Cinemark and see if they have a midnight there. I'm just like, you can watch it like right now, like it's in 5 minutes.
That's not important, Richard.
Yeah, like I don't know. I don't get it. I definitely don't mind the lack of midnight shows because it means I'm not stuck at work an extra 2 hours.
Yeah.
And also
32.5 million.
Also, Guardians of the Galaxy is on pace to be the fourth highest grossing Marvel movie.
So there's the highest grossing movie of the year now.
It is I'm saying the fourth highest grossing Marvel movie. Period.
Hmm. So what then? Iron Man 3, Avengers and what?
And what was the other one?
Iron Man 3 beat Avengers, really?
No. Avengers is still number one, but Iron Man 3 made like $500 billion.
Iron Man 3, Avengers, and what else will probably...
Spider-Man, they're counting probably.
No, it was a Marvel
Marvel movie. Studios. Yeah. Those are the top two are those.
Yeah, but there's a third
one. And what's the third one?
Hang on.
Iron Man 2 did less than Iron Man 1.
Right. And it just surpassed Iron Man 2.
I don't know. I think they're probably counting the Spider-Mans.
I don't think that they are.
I don't know. Maybe like it's like a $2,000 behind Winter Soldier or something.
Maybe.
Winter Soldier's ahead. I'm sorry, Winter Soldier is...
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it already passed it.
Guardians is ahead of Winter Soldier is what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I tell you guys, I'm really ready for, like, October. Well, I'm ready for October to be over already. Like, get out of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know that fucking Annabelle movie's coming out, and it's going to be a hellacious nightmare in box office and podium and just everywhere.
Annabelle?
Yeah, the movie about the creepy doll or whatever.
Haven't heard about this.
Oh, it's a spinoff of The Conjuring.
Oh, well, then I really don't give a shit.
The Conjuring was apparently pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard it's good. At the same time, I know there's like a billion 12-year-olds that watched it at Redbox, and they're all going to be dropped off at the theater by their parents, you know, with their million other 12-year-old friends, while the parents go off to, like, you know, the firing range or the strip club or whatever the fuck.
There's a strip club?
Not in Brandon, no. There is a firing range, though.
I'm like, Richard, Brandon Crossing's moving up in the world if they got a strip club.
Yeah, but you can take kids to the firing range. I mean, I guess you can take them to the strip club, can't you?
No.
No, I doubt that very soon.
I don't know. I'm not wise in the ways of the strip club. Really, there's that thing at Movie Tavern that no one enforces where we're not supposed to let any children at all under the age of 18 come into anything after 9 o'clock because it's a bar.
Right.
But no one enforces that because it would be a fucking nightmare. And I know that just October's always full of that shit because it's going to be Halloween. You know?
Yes.
Is there anything else good coming out in October?
Fury comes out depending on whether or not you're excited for that.
I think it looks good. I will go watch it.
All the people at work are hyped for it.
I love that poster.
Where he's sitting on the tank.
Yeah, where you just see the Fury written on the barrel.
Oh, yeah, and he's doing, like, the Garfield pose.
Yeah, love that poster. Hang in there. Brad.
That's awesome. So Guardians just took over Iron Man 2.
And it's behind what?
And it's behind Avengers, Iron Man 3, and Iron Man, and it will probably beat Iron Man.
So the list you're including did include Spider-Man?
No. They're saying that Guardians will be the third highest grossing Marvel movie once it surpasses Iron Man.
I mean, they really got to fucking specify. So what they mean is like the third highest grossing Marvel Studios movie.
Yes.
Because adjusted for inflation, I don't know how much that first Spider-Man movie made.
Oh my God, it had to be like $600 million at this point.
I don't know. Anyway, good for them.
I think with what Guardians has made, I think it increased the value of the Marvel Studios franchise to $7 billion worldwide.
Sounds like a sound investment on Disney's part.
Yeah. So you're saying it will be number three.
It will be number three.
That is absolutely true. Yes.
Whenever it overtakes Iron Man.
I don't know. It didn't feel as busy, but it also had like a longer run because, you know, August sucks. So there we go. We might get more big movies in August now. This could be the 300 of August because remember, nothing but shit used to come out in March.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now we get big stuff. Is Batman Superman in March?
Yes.
Did I imagine that?
No, it's in the Snyder slot.
Oh, man.
No, was that what they pushed it to?
They pushed it to the Snyder slot.
Yeah, they moved it out of the way of Captain America 3 or whatever, which was probably smart.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense for them to cannibalize each other.
It makes sense to me. I want to see that shit get crushed.
I don't think Captain America would have been cannibalized at all.
I would have really enjoyed seeing like a movie with Batman in the title not do as well as a Captain America movie.
Like open at number 6 on the at the box office or something. Yeah,
I don't know about number 6, but it would have opened at number 2. It might have opened at number 6 for like midnight shows.
Oh man,
or 8 o'clock shows, I guess. But yeah, oh man, I would have loved that. I would have loved the. I don't know. It's still entertaining to me that one of them blinked or whatever. And I know it's terrible for me to wish ill on movies in general making money and, like, you know, as part because I work loosely in that industry, but at the same time, I hate seeing shit do well.
Yes.
And I do mean shit, not shit in general. I mean stuff that actually is, like, not good. But, you know, whatever. All right. Well, let me turn my phone back on so I can get my list out. Boop. We're going to continue where we left off last time. Did you guys, like, write your lists down physically, like, all
I
analog
did.
And stuff?
I wrote mine on a yellow legal pad.
You have so much more foresight than me, Chris. This is going to kill my battery. I know when I turn this back on, I'm going to have, like, you know, 65 things, but still. All right. So we left off with number 5, right?
Yep.
Or did we do... Yeah, okay. So the last 5. And since, Chris, you have your list written down in front of you, let's just start us off.
Okay. With number 5 for me, Season 8, Episode 23, Homer's Enemy. Homer's Enemy.
Yeah, great episode.
One of my favorite characters of all time,
Frank Grimes.
Grimy Grimes.
Yeah, what an episode, huh?
Oh my gosh. Love that episode so much. And just how angry he gets with Homer, and Homer's just oblivious.
Yeah.
And then
no
on his tombstone,
what.
It even says Frank Grimy Grimes.
Frank Grimy Grimes. He's just so bewildered that he works so hard and tries so much, but a guy that does so little accomplishes so much.
It still makes me laugh.
I think a lot of people can relate to that story, which is why it resonates with us so
well. Some people really hate that episode.
Really?
I imagine because they probably
feel
like...
Yeah, because they say it's too dark and mean.
Yeah, they probably feel like they're Homer. You know what I mean? Shit, it's too close home.
No, that's a really great episode. It's one of the tail end of, like, you know, where I was into the show or whatever. But, yeah, boy... You guys are. It doesn't matter because I am Homer Simpson. He grabs the live wire.
Incredible.
It says on the Wikipedia page that Hank Azaria, who voiced Frank Grimes, based much of his performance on William H. Macy.
Okay. Huh. I could see that.
Well, all of Hank Azaria's voices are, in his words, bad impressions.
Yeah.
Of celebrities.
No, that's where the most entertaining stuff comes from, I think.
Which, by the way, just a quick aside, did you guys see the video of the Hollywood Bowl performances this week?
What's the Hollywood Bowl?
The Hollywood Bowl, you know, the concert venue
the
in
Simpsons
L.A., they did a whole
Hollywood,
big Simpsons show.
They did a Simpsons anniversary at the Hollywood Bowl, and they had Conan O'Brien out there singing the monorail song.
He sang the monorail song.
They had a lot of... It was a mix of live action and animation.
And what was this meant to celebrate? Just the end of the marathon?
Well, I mean, you know, 25 years and...
So it is an anniversary year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew that, and I totally, like, you know, planned it that way.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
With the thing and the stuff.
Yeah. That's the ticket.
Good thing we got that request in.
Of course! I was just quizzing you, Michael.
Yeah! That's
you passed!
The
this time. But Homer's Enemy is a great episode, and it is...
Stands the test of time.
Horribly, horribly dark. It almost made my list, but it was eked out because... I don't know, I guess I respond more to other stuff. It was one of the runners-up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's definitely a top, like, 25 for me, I think.
Yeah, it would have probably been in the top 25.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, number 5.
My number 5 is from Season 12. It is Episode 18... Trilogy of Error.
Season 12.
And it is pretty much, it starts off at the Simpson home, and then an event occurs, which is Homer getting his thumb chopped off, and then it follows...
Oh, I remember this episode.
Homer's day, and then it follows Lisa's day, and then it follows Bart's day.
It's like the Run Lola Run.
Yeah, okay, I've seen this one.
And like,
I remember the fireworks.
Yeah, because in Bart's day, Fat Tony had been importing illegal fireworks, and
yeah.
Henry Milhouse stole them. And actually, that ties in with Homer's story, because Legs is the one who reattaches Homer's thumb. Hmm. And Lisa developed for a science project, she develops Linguo, the grammar-fixing robot, and Homer says, me love beer. Lingo says, I love beer. And so Homer gives Lingo a duff, and it causes it to malfunction and go all crazy. I love on Lisa's day because she gets on the bus, or she misses the bus. Krusty picks her up and takes her to school, but he takes her to West Springfield Elementary School, which is like the nicer school, the preppier school and stuff. And she meets a boy named Thelonious, who is played by Frankie Muniz. And she's like, you know, it was like a little boyfriend for her for a half minute. But it was fun. It was, you know, it was constructed really well. It was a fun story. I like those kind of really neat different ways of storytelling, kind of like, you know, 22 short films in Springfield. But
yeah, I remember. I like that episode.
Yeah, it's a good episode. It's
I do like this one. This must be right before I stopped watching.
So
wait for good.
Huh. Can't imagine the horrors you.
Oh, dude, there's some bad ones, but you know. It is apparently a parody of thriller movies such as Go and Run, Lola, Run, so it has outlived at least one of those movies.
Wow.
In its eventual legacy.
Holy crap.
Outlived one of the things it parodied. Seriously, does anyone remember Go?
Like, yes.
I mean, other than us, Go. Chase, because we make fun of it a lot.
Whoops. Yeah, no one.
I liked Run, Lola, Run. That was a good movie.
I like Run, Lola,
yeah,
Run.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
I'll have to watch this episode.
It's good. It really is. It has a fun payoff with Bart and the fireworks.
Yes, it does.
No, get out of Metacritic, damn it.
Well, my number five is I Married Marge. I like
Remember
the,
what season that's in?
Season three.
Oh, is this the one that's about them in high school?
No. This is the one where he gets her pregnant. The way
oh,
he
the
was.
Bowling alley.
Season 3, episode 12.
Oh, wait, no, this no. is about Bart.
This is Bart. Okay. So this is the one where he worked at the putt-putt.
Yeah,
and they
and
had sex.
Spoils Empire Strikes Back for everybody.
Yes. Who would have thought Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father? One of my favorite gags of all time is Dr. Hibbert like looking at the ultrasound and saying, if I didn't know any better, I'd say he was mooning me. And then like... And he sets Homer's tie on fire when he's born. I'm sure he didn't mean it. Yeah. I think he starts choking him. Like, it was great. I mean, when I was discussing my list, I was going over it with J-Rob. And he said that his favorite of the Simpsons, you know,
the
past episodes or whatever was the Maggie one. And he made a good case for it being super sweet. But I like this one more for its humor and its sweetness and how hard that Homer really worked to make a family with Marge and how she waited for him as long as she could with her horrible mother and sisters and living with them forever. And he proposes with like an onion ring. That's just very sweet. It's, can I take it off? It's burning my finger. Oh, right. I think he works at a taco hut that sells onion rings. So that's weird. I guess it's like a – what do you call that? The you know, jack-in-the-box kind of place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember this episode because I had to ask my mom why people were banned from being inside the golf park. Because it has the joke about because someone created an unsanitary condition.
How did that conversation go?
She was like, someone had sex there.
Uh-huh. Well, all right.
Oh.
Cool.
All right, Richard, what's your number five?
Bart of Darkness, the first episode in the sixth season.
Oh.
This is the one where Bart breaks his leg and they get the pool.
This yes. is this is on my list, too.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I love it.
I remember this one because it's like Rear Window.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think just if you know me in casual conversation, I quote this episode quite
Tis
often.
Tis for Pride and Telga.
All right, I'm going. Tiz replied. He's writing a play because he's so bored in his room. It's incredible. Incredible joke. I love everything with your with the pool and the kids. And
yeah,
Lisa's
where the pool van pulls up or whatever, and all the window all the water flies to the front window
incredible.
And soaks Otto.
Incredible. Oh, your exodermis is showing.
What? Where? My mom really loves that joke.
Yeah, it's great. It's such a good joke. And I think Homer and Marge are skinny dipping in the pool, and the cops flash the spotlight on them. It's continue swimming freely.
Yeah, continue swimming naked.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, Flanders' scream is incredible.
Yeah. I like this episode because it's one of the few times that Bart and Lisa work together, and it's not an itchy and scratchy episode.
Right,
it seems
right.
to be the only time they're friends.
I like when they solve mysteries.
I like them solving mysteries,
which is all usually the crusty episodes. And this is like a wholly different, like, you know, the when they change the dynamic of Bart being a flagrant asshole and Lisa being Miss Righteous, when they switch those roles. You have a fine episode at hand. This is one of those great examples of it.
I do like this a lot more than Is My Brother Smarter Than a Hamster?
Yes.
Though that does have like the great joke where Homer ruins it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And the one where they throw the scientifically gigantic tomato on Principal Skinner.
Mr. Honey Bunny! Wait, that's your childhood pet. Childhood toy thing.
Yeah, no, it's a great episode, and it's a great season opener. Season 6 is like, I don't know. Overall, if I was going to pick one to like just, if I could only keep one, this would probably be the season I would keep, even though it ends on the cliffhanger or whatever. But it has like quite a few of the other ones I really like.
It's an excellent season.
It has Bert's Comet and Homie the Clown in it, which I really like.
I love those.
Oh,
two of my favorites.
Makes Three, we were just talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. And Maggie episode is great at the end when... The reason they asked why Maggie doesn't have any pictures in the house is because he put all of the pictures of Maggie like in his office at the nuclear power plant.
And covers that. Remember,
hey, we'll get to that episode.
You remember here, you're forever. To remember you're here for her.
Yeah. We'll get to that episode.
But no, I like this one because it was like one of the few times where they like referenced a movie I had actually seen by the time it had aired. Because like, trust me, I'd never seen The Graduate by the time they did the thing with Mr. Burns and Grandpa Simpson and Marge's mom. And I'm not really saying that's a crime.
Right. I agree.
I like that episode. The Graduate is another story.
All right,
number 4, Chris.
Number 4 for me is Bart versus Australia, Season 6, Episode 16.
Which nice. Was my number 6.
And I think we already talked about that one. So.
Yeah, my dad's favorite episode.
Go back
Love
and
it.
Listen.
Great episode.
And I think I said it last time was just when Marge walks up to the bar and asks for coffee and he just keeps saying beer. I still quote that to this day.
Beer.
I love that.
And Ify Spoonie is still one of my favorite things to deal with to quote.
I still like I don't quote it, but I like visually quote it. I guess the thing with the koala on the helicopter at the very very end.
Oh, that's
one of
yes.
the best. Yeah.
I bring that up all the time whenever I think something is super stupid mm-hmm. and incredibly funny because it is super stupid.
Yes.
All right. Mile number 4.
My number 4 is from season 4, episode 2, A Streetcar Named Marge. That has John Lovitz as Llewellyn Sinclair.
Acting!
And also Phil Hartman as Lionel Hutz and Troy McClure in that episode.
Awesome.
I love that episode. I love the song about New Orleans.
Streetcar.
You know, long before the Superdome. Just that whole thing.
I've always relied on the
kindness of strangers.
Yeah. And then the next episode has Bart, I Will Not Defame New Orleans, on the blackboard. So it's the, you know, and, interestingly, production-wise, that was the last Klasky Supo episode.
Was it really?
Yes.
Oh, because they switched it over to season four.
Right.
Because it was a season three episode originally.
Correct. Yeah. I also loved the Ayn Rand school that Maggie was put in.
Stella,
I thought that was hilarious.
Can't you hear me, Yella? You're putting me through hella.
I like the Great Escape riff they do in that.
Yeah, for the Ayn Rand school? Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. I love that episode. And that was one of the earlier episodes where they let Ned be less annoying.
I like Ned. It's like, always funny.
I like Ned, too, a lot. I think he's a great character. And I always like the gag that he's, like, super ripped under his shirt.
Yeah,
like,
right. that's what I'm saying. Yes. But also, he's more of a protagonist in this episode.
Oh, you mean just as, like, Homer's foil.
Right, yeah. He's less Homer's foil and more of his own character in this. That's what I'm saying.
I like that this episode lets Homer actually be really sweet.
Yes. It's a good episode. I really enjoy it. And it's my number four.
I like anything where Homer tries to be a better person.
Oh, man. Of course. I mean,
without necessarily requiring Marge to have, like, a breakdown to indicate to him that he's not a bad person.
Oh, like the breakdown, the literal episode.
Oh, Rancho Relaxo.
Yeah.
I like that episode all right.
It's okay. It's not one I usually like to watch.
It's not among my favorites, but I don't think it's anywhere near bad.
So it's number four?
It's No Fear of Flying.
Okay. Well, that is...
All right. So number four, Jace.
I'm sorry. That's great. Okay. Number four is Cape Fear. I don't have to say much. I mean, it's Cape Fear. It's a classic episode. Everybody references it.
This is going to show up on my list later.
Now, is Cape Fear the one?
Sideshow Bob follows them.
Yeah.
Because he gets out of Die Bart Die.
Ooh, but that's, I want to be Joe Montana.
That's the one with the boat where Bart makes him do the yes.
Yes,
okay.
Sing the HMS Pinafore.
The HMS Pinafore thing. I love that episode.
This is season 5, episode 2.
Where it has the gag where they recorded Kelsey Grammer saying, one time, and looped it 18 times. And just kept going. I think they said they played it. They kept adding one and showing it to new people, and as soon as someone stopped laughing is when they stopped.
Stopped, yeah. Because now I will say, we were watching that episode not long ago, and Carrie...
It's such a good joke.
Carrie just builds on the laughter every time he would step on a rake. She would just...
Because you could just see 1,000 rakes around him.
Redouble her laughter every time. You know, yeah. It was great.
And that is framed so well, like it's perfectly animated in how far away the shot is and it's angled. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's just fantastic.
It's a great episode. It's great.
Where he's the best is when they're making the Cape Fear or whatever joke in the theater and he's got the cigar, but Homer laughs even longer. Like, that's perfect.
I don't know what he's laughing at.
What were they watching? Was it a parody of Problem Child again?
I think so.
Something like that.
I don't know, but it's like, who wants to drive through the cactus patch over here? Ooh, us.
No. That's three against one.
No.
I'm going to stomp on your foot lightly, and you just look at me and nod.
Is this the one with no one who speaks German could be a bad person, or is that the one where he marries Selma?
Because it's Die
Bart. It's German for the. Nobody speaks German could be an evil man. Click. Fantastic episode.
It is a great
episode. Is my favorite Sideshow Bob episode.
Mm-hmm. It is the best. It's the best Sideshow
Bob
episode.
It's a big.
It is. It is. Fucking fantastic.
All right, so number
four. Okay. Wow. If it's on your list later, we'll talk about it, I guess. The other gag, we'll go with that and then let
Okay, so number four on my list. This is a really tough one to place. But Lisa's Rival, not just my favorite Lisa episode, but my favorite B-plot in the entire history of the show.
So season 6, episode 2.
Yes. Okay. Homer in the Sugar Pile.
Homer in the Sugar Pile.
The B-plot.
Yeah. Okay.
That's easily one of my favorites.
I forgot about that.
But yeah, Marge, free sugar.
Isn't this the one where Ralph? Doesn't this the one where Ralph says, "Oh, you bit my Wookiee"?
It is. It is. It is Diorama O'Rama.
Yeah, Diorama O'Rama.
What's a diorama?
What's a diorama?
You bit get my Wookiee.
Yeah, he's like, original Star Wars figures, and they're still on their cards. He has
Han Solo, Chewbacca, all my friends.
Even my favorite, Chewie.
Chewie. Oh, it's just fucking incredible.
It's a great episode. It's not, like, it also has, this one probably has more jokes that, like, I bring up than any other episode. It has the, I nicked it in that split second when you weren't looking, and I do it again.
Goodbye.
It's like, but Homer, there's like broken glass and nails in this. He's like, those are prizes.
Yeah.
Homer work called to say that if you don't show up tomorrow, don't bother coming in on Monday. Woohoo! 40 weekend!
And celebrity anagrams.
Yes, yeah, with Sir Alec Guinness, this genuine class.
Genuine class.
And what's she get?
She gets Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy's iron.
Here's a ball.
Perhaps you'd like to bounce it. And she drops it later. Keep at it. You'll get it.
Here's a ball. Perhaps you'd like to bounce it. Yes. It's like probably like my go-to. Yes.
Because the look on her face, too, is like perfect Looney Tunes. Like, are you being real?
She crafts every character in A Christmas Carol for her initial diorama.
Oh. Incredible. And the stupid beating heart went, oh, this one's not that good. I love when they judge both and they're like, oh, these aren't that good. Yeah. What do you think? I think it's time for lunch. We have a winner!
But I like it because it was a moment.
Welcome to the school system.
It was a moment where they let Lisa not be like, you know, just like the voice of what we think. Which, you know, sometimes could get on my nerves, especially as like a kid.
Yeah, and that moment where, you know, she has the foil and herself, but she overcomes it, whereas, you know, Homer would not.
Yeah. Ultimately, I do like Lisa, but, you know, there's that moment in the one with Mr. Bergstrom, the Dustin Hoffman episode, where she, like, screams at Homer, and I was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's too much, Lisa. Too harsh, too cold, too intense. But this one, I don't know, they struck a happy medium for me. I don't know.
Okay.
All right, Chris, number three.
Number three for me is season 6, episode 13, and Maggie Makes Three.
It's a great episode.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit before, and it goes back to that Homer redemption story for me. And if I remember correctly, isn't this the one where he's in the bowling alley and he's working, and he has the bowling ball and he spins around and he goes, I'm gonna make it, and he throws it up in the air, and it just lands and crashes into the
into the back of the lane.
Yes,
and he has the jacket that's like, you know, all this nice. All his friends at the bowling alley give him. It's like, we're gonna miss you, Homer. You're the best damn pin monkey we ever had.
And then it melts because of the acid rain.
Acid rain over the power plant.
Like, that is a great moment.
Applicants where he has to crawl into fucking dust.
Him working at the bowling alley is the best thing. I mean, it's so great. It's so wonderful. And you get happy for a moment for him before he has to work like the rest of us. And
he polishes his head, too. And they go, Homer, did you put your head in the bowling ball polisher again? No. I love it. And it's got such a good message.
Oh, absolutely.
It is so sweet at the end,
you know,
with the plaque.
Yeah, it's just
don't forget, you're here forever.
Yeah, I mean, that's just great. That's just a great moment.
Yeah,
the whole thing is so great. The kids are bored, but he doesn't care.
Because what starts the episode is that they have pictures of Maggie.
Yeah, and he keeps telling this big long story.
Yeah,
it was How I Met Your Mother before How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Yes, which they acknowledge.
Oh, do they?
Yes. Neat. Acknowledge that those episodes were an influence on the show.
All right. Yeah, this one narrowly made it on the outside of my list as well. It would probably have been in like a top 15. It's my favorite of the flashback episodes. Followed shortly by Marge and Homer in high school.
You like that one?
That's a good one. I like that one too.
I like the origin of Barney's alcoholism in the flashback in the space episode too. But, you know. All right, Michael, number three for you.
Number three, season 6, episode...
Season 6 is ridiculous.
22. I'm telling you. Round Springfield, the death of Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Ah,
intriguing choice.
Why do you say that?
I like this episode. It's not one of my favorites.
I really like it. Now, you know, this is one of those.
I do like the Darth Vader and Mufasa.
So that's a great one. But this is one of those that y'all were mentioning, and I was going to talk about it, but I didn't because this brought up. Because this is not a Krusty-centric episode, but in the B-plot, this is one where Bart and Lisa kind of work together. Because Bart swallows a toy out of Krusty-O's.
Yes.
And he sues Krusty, and Lionel Hutz, you know, they get him for like millions of dollars, sure, or whatever.
Wasn't it like the metal barbed, yeah, Krusty-O?
And
yes.
Then he pretty much he wins $100,000, but after legal fees, it's Bart only ends up with $500. And like, Lisa wants to honor Bleeding Gums by having his album played at the local jazz station.
Right.
And it's in the Android's dungeon, and Comic Book Guy, because he dies, doubles the price, which it was $250, now it's $500. And Bart gives Lisa the $500 to buy the album.
Instead of the ultimate pog with Steve Allen's face on it,
yep,
as it says.
Which you remember,
I think it
Pogs?
Says, I'm a pog.
Remember Alf? Yeah. Now he's back. Pog form.
Yeah, but I do love the...
They love Pogs.
You, yeah, must avenge my death, Kimba. I mean, Simba. Because of the whole Kimba the White Lion thing.
What was it that Willie said in it?
He says she's eating surrender monkeys, which, according,
yes,
to Wikipedia,
yes,
has since entered the public lexicon and been used in reference frequently by journalists and academics, and has been included in two Oxford quotation dictionaries.
Also,
it has its own Wikipedia. It had,
yes, yes.
She's
eating surrender monkeys.
A big fan of it having Dr. Hibbert and Dr. Nick do surgery on Bart.
Hi,
for his appendicitis. So I like that episode. I like Bleeding Gums. I like jazz music. I always like when Lisa. I like the music centric ones where Lisa plays saxophone. And that one was, I don't know, it was one of those. It was a very sweet episode. I remember it affected me because he was a decently oft referred to character. He didn't show up a lot, but he was an oft referred to character. And
well, he's one of those ones that nerds remembered. You know, because we all watch the show.
Yeah. And, but it was neat to show, like, how Lisa dealt with one of her heroes dying. You know, a celebrity who she might not have really interacted with a little bit, but she did because it's The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it kind of started in my brain whenever someone dies, I like to. Like, if an actor dies, I like to watch one of my favorite movies by them to kind of honor, you know, their impact on my life. And so, but yeah, I love Round Springfield. I really enjoyed.
Which of these major characters died on The Simpsons? The answer is none of them. None of them are major.
All right, Jace, number three.
Bart of Darkness.
Bart of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. Great episode.
Great episode. Indeed.
It said a lot. It said a lot. I love that episode.
Season 6, yet again, yep. Episode 1.
It's one of the three best season openers. Probably right. The best one.
My number 3 is Marge versus the Monorail, which just was hot and heavy,
yes,
for its particular ranking, because it could have taken number 1. It really could have.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I really love this episode a lot.
Yeah, love it.
And I believe you already talked about it, Chris.
Yeah, it was my number 6.
Yeah. But, you know, needless to say, everybody knows this episode. It's probably one of the 10 most famous ones.
It probably, yeah. I think
pinned,
it's the most.
Famously penned by Conan O'Brien.
And Conan says it's his favorite episode.
Yes, there you go.
So, yay. Or his favorite episode that he wrote or whatever, contributed to.
His favorite episode is one he wrote. What a dick.
His favorite thing he ever did, period. All right, Chris, what is your number 2?
My number 2 is season 4, episode 9, Mr. Plow.
Woohoo!
And I think we already talked about this one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was
so.
My number 8.
When two best friends unite, not even God can stand in their way.
Oh,
Mr. Plow, that's his name, that name again is Mr. Plow.
It's weirdly scandalous, Mr. Plow King commercial with Linda Ronstadt.
Awesome. Yes.
Now we play the waiting game. Waiting game sucks. Let's play Underground Grandpos.
But yes, refer to our previous episode for Mr. Plow discussion. All right, Michael, number two.
Number two is from season 8, episode 10, The Springfield Files.
Oh.
Starts off with Leonard Nimoy doing his in search of thing, and
the
has,
second Leonard Nimoy appearance on the show because we just did
that
the first.
Was a Kit Kat in search of with Leonard Nimoy kicking out the jams. Ah.
And then of course David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson are in it, and
he captures imagination.
Honestly, that was one of my. I remember like being insanely excited whenever this originally aired.
This is from the era where I can actually remember the commercials for the individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Episodes.
I remember this because like, the hype was, for this one was huge.
This was
yeah.
January 12th, 1997.
So it was like prime X-Files
and it
explosion.
Was, you know, and I was a huge X-Files fan. I mean, I watched X-Files every week.
X-Files was huge until that movie. Then it was not.
Which people liked the movie.
They did, but just it was the end of the hype for it. People just
well, that was the end of David Duchovny on the show.
Was it?
Well,
I think he had one more season, didn't he, after that?
He did two more seasons. He just wasn't a main focus on the show anymore.
When did the show stop? How long was it? Eight seasons?
2001, 2002?
Something like that, yeah.
Was it 8 seasons or 10 seasons?
I think it was 9.
I think it was 9. And then
did
plus
you joined the cast? Robert Patrick, right?
Yeah, Robert Patrick was Daggett.
And the movie came out after the 5th season?
That
well, the first
right,
movie.
5th or 6th. And then the second movie.
Oh, I remember that second movie.
Yeah, we remember the fucking second movie.
I liked the second movie, but that's...
I've never seen it. I just remember nobody coming to it.
Yeah, it was...
The second movie was effectively a long episode of the show.
I mean, people were... Like, the internet was very, very excited for that movie.
Yeah.
Like, it did not translate.
93 to 2002, 9 seasons.
Yeah,
there you go.
That
all right, anyway. So, Simpsons, In Search of...
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was...
Cough, cough.
I really, really enjoyed that. That was one of those... And it had like a Scooby-Doo ending because it was Mr. Burns the entire time and he was the glowing ghost because of the radiation and stuff. And I always liked that too.
Oh, and he was being shot up with like medical LSD or something.
Yeah,
that's why his eyes were so dilated.
Yes. Because Dr. Nick, he got the booster shot from Dr. Nick and everybody starts singing Good Morning Sunshine.
Good Morning Sunshine.
It's like my sister's favorite episode was this one.
It's one of my favorite, and I mean, because I still remember, like, sitting, like, you know, telling my family, hey, this is a deal, that I'm watching it. I remember talking about it at school the next day.
I've just got a picture of little kid Michael sitting cross-legged in front of the TV watching this. Well,
no, I was, like, middle-aged Michael, remember, Kenzel?
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry.
This was 97, so.
You had to get down out of your... Rascal?
Yeah.
It's true. You were, I guess you were in high school, huh?
I was a sophomore, yeah. So, yeah, it was very, very poignant episode for me. And it was, you know, it was a neat crossover because, you know, X-Files was still going on. And it was a live action, you know, TV show crossing over into a cartoon. It was cool. But that was my number two.
Mm-hmm.
My number two. Is the Last Temptation of Homer. We went over in detail.
With Mindy.
One of the best. We were very thorough on that episode. It is one of the best ever. I love it.
All right. And my number two, which I'm actually kind of surprised hasn't appeared yet on anybody's list, maybe because it's kind of a boring choice or whatever, but it's Last Exit to Springfield, which I believe is like the one that EW or whoever voted is like the best episode ever.
Yep.
What season is that
dental
one?
Dental plan. Lisa needs braces.
Yeah.
Dental plan.
Okay. Yeah.
Lisa needs braces.
That one was about number 13 on mine.
What season is that in again?
I believe it's season 4, but let me check really quick.
What is it? Come sure listen.
Say the name again.
Last Exit to Springfield.
I don't know her song.
It is overall. It is in season 4, episode 17.
There you go.
Maybe bring up the reception here on this. Episode generally ranked as being one of the best of all time and is on a number of top 10 lists. BBC State is frequently cited as the show's best ever episode.
Yeah.
It's, where is my burrito? Where is my burrito? Tell us how you got the scar in the last strike, Homer.
It's a good
episode. It says here that the producers originally asked Anthony Hopkins and Clint Eastwood to provide the voice of the dentist, Dr. Wolf, but both turned it down.
Wow.
To their loss.
Yeah, geez, what a great episode.
They would have been remembered forever.
It's an excellent episode. Everything about it's great.
Guest starring Dr. Joyce Brothers as herself.
Yeah.
I love that song that she sings, and I cannot remember it. I used to know it like crazy. Because she's got the list, because she's got the retainer in.
Mm. Yeah, I know. But it's another one where Homer gets to be, you know, the good dad and not the awful
one. He's a great dad in this. He's a great dad. Lisa was working so well with him. They had a good bonding session in this one.
Yeah, they did.
Also, it has like it has all of my favorite Mr. Burns jokes in it. Like them having like the camera inside of the keg. Or inside of the keg.
Yeah.
Where he's spying on them in the union meeting. And them trying to run the factory by themselves.
Oh.
Fully automated robot workers will not revolt.
Oh, man. I think my favorite Burns joke is Stewart. The duck.
What's the episode where Smithers is having the dream when he just flies in and he's just got like the little...
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the moonlight. You know, I don't know what episode that is.
I believe that's Homer the Smithers, but don't quote me on that. The one where Homer takes over for Mr. Smithers and he goes on vacation.
I don't know if that would be that, because he was on vacation for most of that, so we didn't see him much except for partying with other men.
Yeah. Let's see. Mr. Burns flies through window joke. I'm curious.
Mr. Burns flies through the window.
Apparently that is also from Marge, Mr. No, wait, no, no.
The job, something job.
So it is Marge Gets a Job.
Marge then. Gets a Job. Okay. There he is. Okay. I see it now.
Yep. Okay, so that's the same one with Stewart.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. Those are the best, then.
I stand by all my hiring decisions.
Get back to work, Stuart.
which is when Marge gets a job?
This is where she works at the power plant. Burns falls in love with her.
That's right.
I didn't think that was the Stewart joke. I thought that was a different episode.
Land of Chocolate?
No, it wasn't the Land of Chocolate. It was...
apparently there's an episode called Marge Gets Mugged.
I thought that was the Mindy episode.
What, Stewart?
Yeah.
Is it? You know, let's type in Stewart the Duck, because I know that's going to bring up an entry in Wikipedia.
There it is.
Stewart Duck is his name.
Stewart Duck?
Yeah. Actually, he is apparently in The Last Temptation of
Look at that.
Ha!
There you go.
Woohoo!
Apparently, Stewart briefly appeared in a new episode.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Feed of one employee, D. Stewart, showed a snippet of Angry Birds fanfiction on a computer screen.
It's a German version.
All right, so was that number two?
That was number two.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and do my number one, because it's actually Cape Fear, and we just talked about it. So talk about your last joke, Jace. Is it the chainsaw and hockey mask?
Yes.
You want to have some brownies with the new chainsaw and hockey mask?
Ah! No. Hey, Brady, you want some brownies? Ah! He's got the big knife.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he's like, oh, the Sideshow Bob thing.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And then he's got Freddy.
Yeah.
The Freddy claws.
Hey, Brady, you want to see my new chainsaw hockey mask? Ah!
Oh, I'm sorry, son. No, it's okay.
I shall briefly take you to heaven before I send you to hell.
Great line.
This is actually like the first time I'd ever heard of Gilbert and Sullivan. Ever in like my entire life. And when I asked my dad what that joke was about, he was like, well, let me tell you about my friend in college named Zeke. He could not do basic arithmetic, but he had every single Gilbert and Sullivan musical memorized head to toe, and it was the most unnerving thing. So there you go.
Hey, look at that.
That's where I first heard about Zeke, and I never felt that bad that I couldn't do math ever again. That last part's a total lie. I still feel bad about it. All right, Chris, what's your number one?
Mine is from season 8, episode 22, In Marge We Trust.
I don't know this one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple things happen in this episode. This is the one where Marge becomes the listen lady.
Okay.
At the church, where she takes over for Reverend Lovejoy.
Right.
Oh, is this the one where we see his toy trains?
Yes, you see his toy trains, but there's a couple of funny things in this episode that just blow my mind. Number one, it's where she gives the advice to Ned, because Jimbo and Dolph and what's the other one's name? The three hooligan kids.
No, it's Jimbo, Dolph, and...
Kearney.
Yeah, Kearney. Is Kearney the long one hair? With the long hair?
Yeah.
So okay. They were causing trouble at the Leftorium, and Marge suggests that he shoos him away, but then they start chasing him on the mini bikes. And then
they've got mini bikes.
They've got mini bikes, and he just keeps running. And there's that scene where he's just running down the road and is missing for days because they chased him on there. But this has by far...
This has Mr. Sparkle.
This is the Mr. Sparkle episode.
Oh, okay.
And why I love it so much is Homer's line when... He goes in and be like, can I use this phone? Is it a local call?
Yes. And then he has 18,000 numbers he types in.
18,000 numbers. Yeah. And they call. And he goes, and it goes to Japan. And he goes, mushy, mushy. And they go, hello, this is Homer Simpson from America. Why am I Mr. Sparkle? And they they hand him over to a guy that obviously speaks English. And he goes, hello, Chief. Let's talk. Why not?
Goes, yeah, that's Long Duck Dong from 16 Candles.
Yeah. And he goes, yes, why, Mr. Sparkle? And he goes, oh, you have many questions, Mr. Sparkle. And I just love the whole Mr. Sparkle thing. Just kills me every time. Every time. I just love this episode so much. I know it's not one that most people would think about picking, but I love it. It's the one that's still...
Fuck most people, Kinsley. You be you.
I do like the... Well, there you go, Fishbowl, but that Bart says to Homer at the end. Mr. Sparkle was created by a union of... what are the two companies? One of them's like a fishing company, and the other one is a power company.
Yeah, and you join the two logos, and it makes the Mr. Sparkle head.
And then you
remember that they... the kids... trap Ned at the zoo, and Reverend Lovejoy has to save him on the train.
Oh yeah, with the baboons. Okay,
with the baboons. Yes,
Jason, has your number one already been spoken of?
No, okay.
Just making sure.
Jason's gonna go.
Oh yeah, that's my number one.
That's a good episode, Chris. That's thinking outside of the box. I might not have like considered that one.
Love it.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good one.
It is a good pick. All right, Michael, number one.
Those are good A and
numero uno.
My number one is from season 6. It is the 12th episode. It is Homer the Great, the Stonecutters episode.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I like that episode a lot.
Fucking
it was a very funny episode.
Love the Stonecutters.
Very funny.
Number one, the fact that Patrick Stewart is number one is just phenomenal.
Detach the Rock of Shame.
The Rock of Shame.
Attach the Rock of Triumph.
I mean, it's...
Who may sue Gutenberg?
A star.
We do.
It's got a great song. It's got, I mean, it's so funny. And it's just got so many good gags. And Naked Homer chained to a rock is just hilarious.
The birthmark and all
the
that.
Birthmark, yeah, where he's the chosen one. And
Homer, when he's chief or whatever, decides that he wants to rededicate the club to making monkeys reenact the Civil War.
Yes. Yes. The little alien dude who, you know, is number 51, he's fantastic. I mean, everybody who's anybody in Springfield is a part of the Stonecutters. And it's,
I like where they all the secret entrances and stuff.
Yes, all the different entrances.
Homer falls through the window above their club, I think. right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he's looking at through the yeah.
And it's just, and you know, it's one of my all time favorite episodes. And then a couple of months ago, it was like in June, I think, The Simpsons Tapped Out actually did a Stonecutters event.
Yeah, it was
so
a good event.
So you built the temple, and you got the Rock of Shame, and you know,
and
I mean,
the Rock of Triumph.
Yeah, the Rock of Triumph, and I mean, you know, it was everything. I like all the different characters that were in the Stonecutters have a variant costume where they're in their Stonecutter robes, and you could get number 51, the little alien dude, and stuff like that. And it was just it's always been one of my favorites. It's always been one of my favorite songs from The Simpsons. I love that song, you know, and it's just.
Hey, Schwarzwelder wrote this
it's
one.
It's super goofy fun.
There you go.
And it's from, you know, again, it's from the best.
Makes season. Sense. It's about a lot of conspiracy stuff.
Yeah. So, it's one that always, I don't know anybody who's ever seen it that doesn't like it. It's universally liked. Is it?
This was another episode because I was like, hey, Dad, what's up with this? And he's like, well, let me tell you about the Freemasons.
Yes. Yeah.
4 hours later.
4 hours later. Oh, he's like, hey, you ever look at the back of a dollar bill?
Richard Hooper.
Let me show you.
Richard Hooper and How I Met Your Conspiracy.
Oh, and how the painting looks when Homer's like the...
Yes, yeah, yes, oh. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, so perfect.
Million great gags in this episode.
It's a fun episode.
And it comes right before Aunt Maggie makes free... Right between Fear Flying and right before Maggie makes three.
Jesus, what a season.
And immediately before Bart's Comet... Homie the Clown, and Bart versus Australia.
It's the best season ever. Like, those are all great.
Is Lisa on Ice the hockey one?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think
okay,
so.
Okay, I don't like that one that much. It's okay.
It's not my favorite.
And Jason's number
Homer
one.
Homer Badman's in that season.
Homer Badman?
Homer Badman.
All right, Jason's number one is not going to be from season six.
No.
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm curious, Jason. I'm sure this caused you a lot of agony.
It really did. I had to think about what made me laugh the most and how often I think of it and quotability. And that's why I kept a lot of gag stuff off this list, because this one is so gag heavy. You Only Move Twice as number one.
That's the
Hank Scorpio.
Hank Scorpio.
Yeah, the okay. James Bond episode.
Yes.
That is probably like a number 11 or number 12 for me, because I do love that episode.
What season was that in?
Five?
I believe
no,
it's seven.
Seven.
I laugh, the jokes in that, I laugh so hard at to this day, like the hardest. So it's hard for me to not pick, like, Jared was like, you'd be crazy if you didn't pick that number one just because you love it so much. And it's true, I do. I don't think it's the best, but I love it so much.
It's season 8, second episode.
Yeah, I think it's one of the first of... Season 8. It is fantastic.
Schwarzwelder wrote this one too.
Yes, he did. every joke is like perfect. It's like,
well, I think
great.
Scorpio's a great character.
It's great that Homer finally has it good, and he gives it all up again for his family, mm-hmm. to show, you know, how much he cares about them. And they have such a shitty time. And Marge has an alcohol
problem. Oh,
yeah,
that's
problem.
When Lisa goes out to the
and the chipmunks bite her or whatever.
And she gets allergies bad.
No, the chipmunks blow the dandelions
in her
face.
Stuff, and she gets,
he's a dick.
Yeah. And then she gets stung like 15 times by hornets or something. Yeah.
Hey, Hank, do you have any sugar? Yeah, sure, Homer. Sorry it's not in packets. My God. He just has sugar in his fucking pocket. What's better than that? Classic. It's an absolute classic. I mean, everything about that episode
and what was
so
the,
funny.
What was, like, Hank Scorpio rules Northeast or something like that? That last paint, the bit?
Hank Scorpio overtakes, I think, the
Eastern
Atlantic
Seaboard,
East Coast.
East Coast or something. Yeah, it was fantastic.
All that's great. I mean, Homer, if you could shoot a couple guys on the way out, that'd be great. It would really help me out a lot. And when he tackles James Bond and they kill him, I mean, that's just the greatest. Homer thinks he's doing so well.
Yeah.
And it's great to see like a flunky in the middle of one of those things.
And it's Albert Brooks doing the voice.
Sure.
And he's perfect for it.
I think they voted him like greatest guest star or whatever in the history of the show. It's because he has so many classic appearances, but not all of them were over and over.
Right.
It is a well-crafted, all-comedy episode with a little bit of sweetness in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love laughing at the joke so much that I I would feel a fool if I did not put that on there.
So yeah, great, great choice.
It is not season four.
You mean season six?
No, I meant season four.
I thought you said it is not.
Never mind.
Michael, you said it wasn't going to be an episode from season six.
I didn't
say
that.
And it wasn't. It was an episode from season eight.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. Well, I'm saying I felt when I was making this list that I was going to pick something from season four.
Oh, okay.
But I did not.
See, I was just, because we were just talking, I would say the majority of all of our lists, I mean, three episodes from my list come from season six.
I looked over every episode, wrote down which ones I thought I could potentially have in the top. Then I put an X for the ones that I liked the most over the ones on the list, another X, and then ones with two X's I had to whittle down, and those were like 15 or 16.
Surprisingly enough, I had more come from season eight. I had two from season seven, three from season eight, two from season six, one from 11, one from five, one from four, one from seven.
Yeah. I didn't do a breakdown like that.
Me, two from seven.
I didn't either.
But if people are always like, why do people say that show is good? I was like, yeah, go watch seasons four through eight.
Yeah.
Because you can, every episode is just.
I guarantee you, everything on my list is probably from those seasons. All right. So anyway, before we close, we have one more thing. I'm curious at what point when you guys like fell off of watching it like every Sunday night until the end of time, whether it was your breaking point or where, you know, you just entered like high school or something, you'd have time for this TV shit or whatever, or you know.
You know, I can vouch for me saying, you know, when I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
like my parents weren't very keen on me watching it.
My mom used to hate it.
And eventually I just got to the point where I just watched it and didn't care. But I don't remember specific seasons, like numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught a lot of it later when I started buying the DVDs because I have like 1 through 11 of the DVD sets.
So you never watched it in syndication?
Like I would watch it in syndication and, you know, catch episodes, but I didn't equate to, oh, that's season five or, oh, that's, you know, season eight.
See, I never knew what season was what when I watched them.
But so yeah, I remember just loving certain episodes.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it was for me. So the DVD sets came out. That's when I really started to break it down more.
Well, I went out and bought that episode guide like the day it came out. And you can tell because, boy, my copy is
I have the episode guide. It just was read by my sister in a bathtub and she dropped it in, so I didn't get much time with it.
I'm sure you can buy another copy for like a dollar at this point.
Yeah, I could, but I'm
just
not
probably on
to.
Its like 67th printing, no joke.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do it.
They've got multiple volumes now.
Yeah, there's actually a slipcase thing where you can buy like I think the book that covers like seasons 9 through 12 and then like another one that covers like seasons 13 through 18.
Hmm.
I think they have one that's all the first 20 seasons.
Yeah, they've got a collection that's the first 20 seasons because my...
So they just republished all three of the ones together and then put new more?
I think
two
so.
More?
Yeah, because my father-in-law has it. And then they've
is
got
it a hardcover?
It is. I got it super cheap.
I've seen the dust jacket.
Yeah.
I got it super cheap for a present for a friend of mine, a going-away present, and got it for like $20 in Pittsburgh.
They're supposed to be doing another edition of it for the 25th anniversary or 25th season after this season is over. So,
boy, I hope that first volume's still in print, like the original paperback.
Yeah,
because it was nice for me.
I can tell you, I pretty much stopped watching regularly because I started in high school, which you was talking about earlier. That's when it just happened to be naturally that way. But I can tell you the episode when I was watching it for the first time that I thought, "Uh oh." Was the Mary Poppins episode. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit. Here we go. This might be the end of this show. Because there's so
I
many,
don't know.
Like,
I can actually say for a fact, I watched every episode last season. And I didn't watch it live because I watched it on Hulu.
Yeah, I watched it on Hulu too.
And it doesn't have the same feel that it once did. But there were three or four episodes that were freaking hilarious.
There are still good episodes. It's not.
But it's not like season six where it's just.
Yeah.
They were crushing it.
Yeah. But there's still some really quality episodes in there.
I remember the pinnacle of coolness for me as a child was the fact that in 1990, whenever I started school that year, which would have been my
senior year, right?
Fourth grade year.
20th year of grad school.
Fourth or fifth grade year.
I'm trying not to.
I owned Simpsons t-shirts because my parents
AARP card
were fine. We're fine with the Simpsons, and like kids at school were like, "Oh my God, your mom lets you watch the Simpsons." I'm like, "Yeah, it's a cartoon. Doesn't care."
That's exactly how it was for me. And everyone was amazed at my mom. My mom
like bought me Bart shirts.
My mom
and
wanted
stuff.
To watch the show more
Michael,
than I did.
Did you feel cool?
Oh yeah, there for a hot minute.
well, did you have to eat my shorts?
You felt like cool while you were hot.
It was
the white eat my shorts.
No, the blue one.
The blue one. Okay,
I had the blue one. I actually had a light blue shirt and red shorts.
Did you know how to do the Bartman?
I did know how to do the Bartman.
Shake it to the side if you can.
I had a Bartman shirt. You remember the purple Bartman shirt that had the Batman logo with Bart's face in it and stuff?
I think it looked
like the old 66 Batman logo. I quit watching The Simpsons regularly when I moved to Ohio. So that would have been when I started grad school. Because
I did 2002?
No, that would have been 2004.
Four.
Well, no, technically 2003. Because I graduated college in 2003. But I did not have access to TV on a regular basis whenever I moved to Ohio. And whenever I did... I was mainly watching movies because I never was home because I was working. I was doing grad school the first year and then working at EB Games.
Hey, man, DVR changed shit forever.
Right. And I never really caught a lot of stuff when I wanted to. So I was just watching the movie channels a lot. And they had video on demand back then, but they didn't have the DVR back then. And stuff like Simpsons was never on there, so I just never really got to catch it.
I used to watch Fox at 6 p.m. all the time.
Yeah, I was just never home. Like, I would usually, on a regular weekday, get home at 10 o'clock on a weekend. You know, I might have a weird schedule on the weekends, you know, but whenever we opened the new store, there were only three people that worked at EB Games for a long time. There was the manager, the assistant manager, and me as the third key. So we were working 60-hour weeks. So
three men in a video game store?
Yes, three men in a video game store.
What's this baby doing here?
And it was I remember that's when the Nintendo DS came out, was that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the first DS, the spaceship.
Yeah, we had the spaceship.
That Jace called the DS Heavy forever.
DS Heavy.
Yeah, pissed
DS
me heavy. Off because I still had it when he had a DS Lite.
Yeah, DS Heavy.
But,
DS Heavy.
But yeah, and you know, I mean, I still though...
Well, mine was stolen. I had to buy the DS Lite.
Well, it was.
I know it was. It's such a butt.
When I have the opportunity.
Why, it's DS Heavy. It's hilarious.
I had to buy a DS Lite because my DS Heavy got Coke all over it.
That's right.
Like, when I have the opportunity to, I will still just watch as much of The Simpsons as I can. I don't care what season it's from. Like, the blocks on FXX now.
FXXXXX.
Right now, because you can watch live TV if you have a login for FXX now. And so, you know, like, it's starting at 6 o'clock. You've got, like, 4 hours of Simpsons. And they'll just play random
shit,
episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, they have nothing on that network.
No, they don't. I mean, well, that network was started so that they could do.
Yeah,
so they could
I remember.
Simpsons.
Like that,
so they could show stuff that was like more like apparently intense than what they could show regularly. Because I know that's where the Ali G show is.
Well,
and they might do something offensive.
Well, they bought that station with the intention of making it the
Simpsons network.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do that because there was something about it had to have a certain variety of shows in order for the, well,
I think the FCC does have regulation over that now.
It's Always Sunny, and they moved the league there.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, it's Always Sunny in the league.
Are they trying to kill them?
Well, no, they're trying to get cable companies to pick it up. And it worked.
I think Sonny's a good anchor for it. Yeah. That's something you kind of have to put on there. That's something that people – they've moved time slots for that a billion times.
Oh, and Mike and Molly's on there, and that got the weird people to pick it up, like the my parents type demographic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited for the app to come out too. It's supposed to be out like first week of October.
Yeah, I'll cop to it. And I know Jace likes this episode. the moment I stopped watching The Simpsons for real, like, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. It was partially because I started working when I was 16, so I worked Sunday nights.
Yeah,
and it was also because, like, boy, I fucking hate that episode where they get the horse, like the one where literally comic book guy says, "Didn't The Simpsons already get the horse?" Worst episode ever.
Let me tell you. When that aired all over the internet, people were fucking livid. They were livid.
I fucking hate the leprechaun jockeys. I hate it. I hate it much. I'm going to hate it until I die.
And there's no problem with it. You hate it.
The only thing I hate more is Arnim Tanzarian.
It is legit to hate. I just was like, well, it can't be that bad.
You do like the when the race starts.
Run really fast. That's the only joke I really like. I mean, that's a
like
great joke.
You lose the race, fatty, too.
Yeah, that's a funny joke. But the jockeys themselves, I mean.
And you like the Bachman Turner overdrive joke.
I did?
Yeah, where it's like they start playing something that's not taking care of business. He's like, no. Play taking care of business.
Well, I may have, yeah. But a lot of it's probably just antagonizing. But but honestly.
Fucking dickhead.
But I mean, I hadn't watched any of that. That was the only episode of that season that I watched.
Oh, you missed it?
Yeah. I had to go back and watch it on the rerun.
You guys got to realize this was like forever, like the only show intended for adults that I watched until I was probably like, I don't know, like 20 years old.
But it was that Mary, like that Mary Poppins episode for me, I was like, boy, that was not good, and this is going to get worse.
Actually, when Zach from A&Ncast was like watching the marathon, he's like, you know, everyone says like season 9's when things are going downhill, but you know, the one where Homer was a boxer was when I was like, oh, this is getting kind of shitty.
Yeah, when he's coming through with the parachute and stuff.
Yeah, where Moe's the fan man.
I don't like the
Dredrick Tatum.
I don't like the Homer and his dad sell the snake oil stuff or whatever.
See, I think it's a season 6 episode. Grandpa versus sexual inadequacy.
Boy, I don't like that one.
No, let me look that up really quick.
Is this season 6?
I'm curious.
That's pretty early then. But yeah, that was one I don't like to watch, and I don't think it's good. So if that's season 6, then it's a brown spot. But anyway, yeah. What about you, Chris?
Well, like I said, I don't really remember an exact point that I quit watching because I never watched it like
regularly.
Live?
Regularly.
You never.
I would always catch it on syndication or through the DVDs or whatever. I always remember watching it, but never like sit in front of the TV at 8 o'clock on Sunday. So
I would tape it so I could watch it again later.
Somehow that does not surprise me.
Well,
yeah, it is the 10th episode in the 6th season, right between Homer Badman and Fear of Flying.
Oh boy.
And it was written by, I'm curious, Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein.
I don't know if I'm really super familiar with most of their stuff.
I don't dislike them. I don't know. Anyway, there's no Schwartzwelder, which if you ever listen to the commentaries on the Simpsons DVDs, the jokes about Schwartzwelder are the best because he's apparently like
crazy
a
in a
total
cabin.
Fucking shut-in.
He writes all these weird books they sell on Amazon.
Apparently, when California enacted like some anti-smoking thing, like he bought a booth from his favorite restaurant to install in his house so he could smoke as much as he wanted while he wrote. Because that's what he used to do when he would write. He would go to a restaurant and have lunch, and he would just write episodes.
Yeah, that's
and apparently, like starting with like the eighth season or something, he started mailing his in. He didn't even show up to the writers' meetings
anymore.
Yeah,
he would just mail it in from then on, yeah. I think it was earlier than that. I think it was season 6 or something. It was ridiculous.
I love Schwartzwelder.
Yeah, he's a crazy, crazy man.
Like, he won't even, like, agree to have them bring a microphone to his house so they can record him saying no to asking them if he'll do a commentary. And apparently, in like a one of the commentaries, they call him up, but you can't hear him talking. But they talk to him just to prove to people that he existed, and he wasn't like, you know, just like a pseudonym or something. I love Schwarzenegger. I always meant to get that book he wrote or whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. The time traveler's thing or whatever.
Yeah, we should sometime.
Maybe I should. I wonder if it's any good.
Yeah, it'd be fun to read.
Might be.
Do a review.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, guys. The questions are at last answered.
I did have a couple of mine at home.
It was season 6 that he quit showing up at the Riders.
Season 6.
And in Hurricane Nettie, they have a picture. He has a cameo where he's just in a
room. Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only picture that they have of him is like from, it looks like the 70s.
Yeah. What were you saying, Chris?
What's the picture of Homer where it says pile on? Where
he's foil, file photo. He has like 70 cigarettes in his mouth.
One of the best jokes ever made.
There was one of mine that almost made the list that has one of my favorite gags in it. It's called Lisa's Sax, where she gets the saxophone for the first time, and Homer tries to play it, and he goes, saxophone.
Oh, saxophone, yeah. Saxophone, yeah.
Saxophone.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of the episodes are like right outside of the top 10, so. I know it's more legit for ones I say I could love of The Simpsons, I could list 25 that I say I would legit love.
Yeah.
It was hard. 10 was really hard for me to narrow it down because I still am making adjustments in my head. We're like, well, maybe that wasn't the top one, you know? I'm still doing that as we speak. So this list is going to change in a year.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. I mean, Where's My Burrito is one of the best jokes ever made.
Anything with the file photo is always great.
Are you looking at more file photos?
Yes. Yeah. There's one where he's like eating a giant sandwich. It's a birthday cake. It's a birthday cake. Another one where he's like running down the street and his ass is on fire. One where a gorilla apparently ripped his pants off, so he's like standing outside the cage, his underwear, shaking his fist at it.
Oh. Great.
Good times. Nothing will ever be better than the cigarette. The cigarettes, though.
Best one ever. I love that joke. That's like my favorite.
Richard, please change your Facebook photo to that.
Remember when we did the I filmed us doing the just recording an episode one time, and John Dennis said it looked like, and Kenzel died in Vietnam.
Yes.
So I made the video. My photo is my photo is Homer with the cigarettes in his mouth.
I remember that. Yeah.
So sadly, we must leave you guys, but in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do, such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch, at Clinch Band, and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch, and also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find him on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd, and you can also listen to him on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!